Coming up on Roundabout, one Florida town considers banning a popular summer treat, but who would this benefit? Find out next. Could the seat warmers in your car lead to health problems? Stay tuned, and 36 parked cars fall through a frozen lake. Learn about all this and more. Plus, we play another round of Meet Your Roadmates, where today's panelists match cars to drivers. And we've got an expert on judging people in the studio today, so stay tuned. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase. And by everyone's favorite online store, Amazon.com.
Ready at Amazon. That was me. In Jacksonville, Florida, with autobytel.com, I am Jeffrey Ross.
From the Roundabout World Headquarters in Farmington Thrills, Michigan, I'm Stephen Ewing from Autoblog.
I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And leisuring for a spell, I'm the Colonel Slanders.
This is Roundabout!
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 120, our weekly car chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
I'm coming, Elizabeth!
I haven't done this in a while.
Oh, but Ewing has risen! coming!
Dead.
He is back. The man at Autoblog, Stephen J. Ewing, a.k.a. Morty.
That's me.
He's retired. He's back.
He has some old man hair going on today too.
Yeah, it's sort of. I don't know.
What color would it be if you didn't use shoe polish on it?
It would be a lighter brown.
Would it?
Yes.
Oh. Will we ever get the pleasure of seeing that color someday?
No.
Whoa. Bumped my chair lever here. Just sent me dropping down like the stock market. Well,
actually, it's been on the rise, Craig.
Shut up, Jeff. Well, by the time people listen to this, it'll be fallen again.
Oh.
Yeah. So here we are again, episode 120. 120 times we've done this officially.
Wow.
Hard to believe. I know. We coaxed you back, Steve, yeah, after you left in a tantrum.
Well, what happened was I was out doing my own thing, mm-hmm, enjoying life, and I had regained my faith in humanity.
Which
scared me, so I decided to come back to Roundabout and lose all hope for this race.
Reality
once again.
Check.
You were trying forgiveness on for size. You're
kinda
saying,
yeah,
and
but
then
that's,
you came
that's
back.
Not my thing.
Don't be a douche.
No, sound
right.
Advice.
Oh God, those words—they're like music.
So you know, a very important programming note to make here. We've reached. This is episode 120. Zachary Levine, our Facebook. Very prolific fan on the Facebook.
Uh-huh.
He is. Well, we're giving him an official title here as Roab
yes.
Historian because uh-huh. He has listened to all preceding 119 episodes in the space of 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
That is dedication.
Yeah,
wow.
It's pretty insane. It's not in the space of 2 weeks, to be honest. I think he's been working on it for. Yeah, I would say a month.
Okay.
I think it was maybe a month ago he first told us about it, but nevertheless, it's a feat I've never attempted.
You don't listen to any of them.
So he has earned a preliminary, and I'll explain why, a preliminary level up.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
The only reason he hasn't earned a full level
it's
up.
It's a provisional level up.
Provisional.
Dude, that
yeah.
sounded like a full level up.
I know, but me saying
it's,
it was
it's
a preliminary
lower sample
or
rate.
Yeah, yes. There we go. Let's believe that.
So you guys didn't go and get new sound effects on me, did you?
No.
So why is it provisional, Ben?
It's provisional because now he must listen to the unaired pilot episodes and not kill himself.
Oh, well, I don't know if those will ever come out of the Disney vaults one last time.
I told him next time we go in the attic, we will dust them off and bring them out for
They're
him.
On wax cylinder, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Where's that attic? Is that in the basement?
It's out back behind that wooden fence.
Ah.
The truck comes once a week.
With that creepy guy?
Yes.
Wait.
Anyway, we got
he's
a show
cool.
to do, guys. Talking about Harold.
Yeah,
Resident
he's a
vagrant.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
You offered him a cup of sandwich, didn't you?
No, but he owes me money.
Okay, well, there you are. So, we got a show. Jeff Ross, why don't you start things off? Winter Wonderland, what's going on?
I would love to.
He's either really pissed
what's
or,
going on I would love to
how you feeling I would love to
Okay. Well, winter and ice fishing, they do go hand in hand. But a recent fishing tournament in Lake Winnebago, Wisconsin, had more cars being fished out of the water than walleye. The Battle on Bago is what it's called. It's an ice fishing tournament which pays out more than $100,000, and it drew a larger-than-expected crowd that quickly exceeded available parking. So some anglers decided to park on the ice, which was reported to be about an inch or a foot thick. Sorry. Despite tournament organizers urging people not to park on the ice, about 50 or so cars parked close enough together and broke through the ice, and while some cars only sank up to the axles, others were fully submerged and likely totaled. So for anyone out there looking to buy a used car near Oshkosh, Wisconsin, especially a baby puke green Pontiac Aztec, make sure you get a Carfax first.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
Show me the Carfax.
Show me the Carfax.
Wow, 36 cars. That's an ecological disaster.
That's a lot of sunken cars.
Well, how do you fish them out of a frozen lake? How do you do that?
Well, there was a company in one of the videos called, like, Sunk Toad or Swim or something, and he actually makes $500 to $2,000 pulling things out of icy waters, which, I mean, it must happen frequently because I always hear people, like, in the springtime scuba diving down to see if they can find any snowmobiles or anything like that.
Treasures. Mm-hmm. Treasurelands people
love. Treasure trove.
Treasures. Well, very nice. It's keeping that winter theme going. Steven, seat heaters are a valuable item to have. Or are they?
They are. I used them on the way over. However, many years ago, reports cropped up on the interwebs stating that prolonged use of heated seats could reduce the sperm count in men. Which is a good thing if you're into shooting blanks, but now a new study shows that there's...
Worded that differently.
Why?
Just continue, sorry.
Anyway, a new study shows that those toasty bun warmers can cause rashes or even permanent scarring for those of us who like to leave the seat heaters on during long trips through cold climates. This condition, apparently referred to as toasted skin syndrome, can even change the color and texture of skin along the lower back, upper legs, and of course, your butt. So as much as it might be nice to have a nice warm chair while driving, consider switching off those heaters after your hindquarters have defrosted.
Texture. Really?
Yeah, texture.
Like mouth.
You want anyone want to feel?
Yeah, like, oh, we feel my arse. It's been charred by the seat warmers.
Balmy. I mean, really? Texture.
Texture.
How is that an appropriate word to describe?
Well, it's sort of like, I don't know.
Crispy? Is that what's happening?
Like if you get a burn, how it changes the texture of your skin.
It makes it wrinkly and hard.
Elephantine.
Horse cocky.
Toasted skin syndrome, TSS, huh?
TSS.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be more careful. I won't leave it on 6 then. I'll only crank it up to 2.
Yeah, just
maybe.
Leave it at 2.
Moderation. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, moving along. Men get better deals when buying cars, right?
Right.
We're the aggressive macho providers that are willing to fight. We're willing to fight for the most savings.
I won't pay that price.
Bull roar.
Give me
$500 off rebate.
It's common sense, and according to the East Valley Tribune out in Arizona, it's also a fallacy. When shopping for a new set of wheels, women ask more and better questions. When looking for a used vehicle, they are much more likely to take them to a third party for an inspection. Women are also more likely to take other factors into account, like resale value and insurance costs. And on top of that, they also do more research and nag salespeople more effectively. Just kidding. Add it all up and women can take it to the bank, but I say it's the cleavage that does the deal. Thoughts?
Ow, ow.
No, nothing?
No.
You don't have any input, Steven?
No.
What about you, Jeff?
That's so sexist.
It is.
Well, I like media. I don't personally identify as a man or a woman, so I couldn't tell you.
Your gender's non... You don't see gender like you don't see color.
Mm-hmm.
We're just all a shade of gray.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
That's the damn truth.
Monster trucks.
Monster trucks?
Something.
Monster trucks.
Hmm?
I'm a motherfucking monster.
Special treat for the live
Jeff, honey,
audience.
It's your turn.
I know. That just wasn't a good cleavage segue.
When I think of cleavage, I think of monster trucks.
Oh. Big
and speaking
tires.
Of monster trucks,
don't you like big things in your face?
Whoa!
It wouldn't be the roundabout show. It wouldn't be a roundabout show episode without some crazy Floridian doing something Roab worthy. In this week's installment of the Dangle State Chronicles, we find ourselves neck deep at the Redneck Yacht Club in Punta Gorda, Florida, when a 16-year-old girl parked her Toyota Camry Coupe near a mud pit to attend Swamp Cabbage Weekend concert. We can't even make this stuff up sometimes. Celebrating her brother's birthday, a group of monster truck drivers took it upon themselves to show the girl what happens when you leave your uninsured car unattended in a muddy field. After being told it was abandoned, Norman Lee Nowling, owner of the world's coolest Econoline van, ran over the car with onlookers recording the event and crushed it to the point that the car was unrecognizable. He was later arrested, but did the right thing with the car gods by giving the girl a check for $6,500 to replace the car. Following this act, the girl's family is urging prosecutors not to proceed with felony charges.
Hmm. Yeah, wasn't the crowd, like, egging him on?
Yeah.
Well, the one truck's pushing it in his way so he can, you know, line up properly.
Did he do the whole thing with a beer in his hand?
I could only hope so.
I would imagine.
Wasn't he asking the police that were standing nearby if it was okay?
He was.
And they were saying, oh, it's abandoned.
Mm-hmm. The firefighters told him it was abandoned.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Speaking of ridiculous.
I'm not slurring. I'm speaking in cursive.
But, I mean, first of all, why is a almost 20-year-old Camry worth $6,500? In what Craigslist world is this?
The sort of Craigslist world that's perfect for The Price is Correct.
Oh.
How do you like
but
it?
But that Econoline, you got to say, was awesome.
Was it like the one at the...
No, it was 10 times better than the one at the auto show.
It had a 300 inline six, right?
And it was jacked up like 7 meters.
7 meters? I doubt it was higher than in excess of 20 feet. Point of fact.
I don't know. I didn't see it in person, per se.
But you're in Florida.
Yes.
At the Cabbage Patch Kids convention or whatever it was.
There is. The funny thing, when I first saw this story and it said the Redneck Yacht Club, there's a Redneck Yacht Club here in Jacksonville.
Oh.
So next time I'll go take pictures for you.
Well, that's Florida.
Florida.
Florida. Florida. And gassy Florida. Gas prices, something.
Talking about gas.
Let's talk about gas. They've got my dander up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this story is indeed an unfortunate coincidence. Mm-hmm. At least we hope it was simply a coincidence. While filming a live on-the-scene report at a gas station in Los Angeles, the ABC News crew watched as the price of gas rose a full 10 cents. From a ridiculous $4.99 per gallon to a somehow even more ridiculous $5.09 per gallon.
Oh!
But you see, that's not the unfortunate part. Look closely at the video, and you'll notice that the price per gallon changes right after two Corvettes pull up at the pumps. If this is the sort of on-the-fly price gouging that happens in L.A., we'd hate to think of what would happen if a Lambo drove in.
So walk us through what happened here, Stephen.
Basically, so they're filming a segment on gas prices and how, oh, they're so outrageous, they're outrageous. Mm-hmm. And it cuts back to the news anchor, cuts back, and the person doing the live report is, look, it just went up 10 cents. It just went up. It's 5.09 now. But the whole time they're doing this, there's a yellow Corvette that comes in and slowly positions itself at the pump. And then when they go back to talk about how it's now 5.09, there's a black Corvette behind it.
It's like a Corvette Club roundup.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Kind of.
Now, what was this just coincidence? Do you think, or was somebody out there causing a ruckus here?
I would hope it was a coincidence.
I would hope so. Too.
I would really hope it was.
Did it go back down when they left?
It was a coincidence. I don't know. No one knows.
I don't know. Well, another Florida story. Surprise, surprise.
Hmm.
According to the Miami Herald, folks in the town of Pembroke Pines, located in South Florida, are considering a ban on ice cream trucks and other street-side food vendors. Gasp. The city commissioner says residents are fed up, no pun intended, with these snack hawkers and the beggars they supposedly attract. Besides the alleged nuisance of unwanted vagrants and other migratory peoples, street corner food sellers are also being charged with hurting brick and mortar local businesses, not to mention detracting from the city's beauty. Oh, come now, is what I say. What's wrong with a mobile distribution center for delicious frozen dairy? The only problem I see is when they're in Long Beach at around 3:30 in the afternoon.
Ooh.
Burn. Many fond childhood memories involve waiting for the local ice cream truck to make its rounds during the balmy summer months. Is this move simply in poor taste, or is it downright un-American?
Oh, you're killing me.
I say it's un-American.
First of all, you said that Miami doesn't want unwanted vagrants and migratory peoples. Have you never been to Miami?
I said, actually, in point of fact, Jeff, I said Pembroke Pines.
It's Miami.
Is it?
Okay. It
might be Tampa.
What's the difference?
Tampa.
It's all anyway, Florida. All Florida is are vagrants and migratory peoples.
Really?
I'm a vagrant.
You see, that is actually...
This is just a green screen behind me.
No, it's actually a tarp that you've masterly painted to look like a bookshelf in a nice warm light.
No, it's a green screen.
Oh, that seems a little advanced for a vagrant, isn't it?
Well, I have a good computer before I was kicked out of my
destitute.
House.
So,
did you live in your van like Jewel?
I lived in the Jeepster. But it has no roof. That blows.
It's very to the
I think
point.
That makes you slightly more hardcore than Jewel.
Mm.
You have and to write I a have book good of, teeth.
You have to write a book of poetry now.
Mm.
I have better teeth than Jewel.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Mm. Anyway, that will wrap up the news portion of the program. We too hope you enjoyed it.
Oh.
We put a lot of effort into this. I know, Steven, you did.
Oh.
I know. But don't worry, there's plenty more roundabout coming up after the commercial interlude.
Oh.
Apparently, he's cooking up a 5 or a 6 on the Bristol scale. It sounds like he's got some grinding going on in there. But in the meantime,
it's so emotional, baby.
Yes, you do. In the meantime, don't touch that fast-forward button. We've got another auto gadget coming your way, plus a brand new installment of Meet Your Roadmates, all with Jeffrey Ross and Stephen Ewing, so we do hope you'll stick around for that. But right now, we got to thank our friends at Advance Auto Parts. And I understand, Ben, they are ready in advance.
They're ready in advance!
Yes, so as you've heard before on here on Roundabout, very special, very exclusive offer that is only available to Roundabout listeners. Go to our website, roundaboutshow.com. You'll see on the right-hand sidebar of the page a little banner ad, a little box for Advance Auto Parts. If you click on that, that is your portal. Your one-stop shop for major automotive savings. The exclusive affiliate offer I just mentioned? Hard to believe. I hope you're sitting down for this. Because if you spend $30 with Advance, you can chop $10 right off the top of that bill.
That makes it $20.
Yes, it does. $20 for $30 worth of goods. If you spend $50, Steven, you can take $20 off the top.
That makes it $30!
Speaking of $30, if you hit $100 through Advance, you can save $30. Steven has had an existential breakdown. The savings are that great. Again, that is 10 off 30, 20 off 50, or 30 off 100. All you have to do is go to our website, roundaboutshow.com. You click on the Advance ad on the right-hand side of the page. It'll take you to their website. You do your shopping for your parts as you normally would. And they've got thousands of things, from spark plugs, air filters, you know, tail light bulbs, whatever, alternator. You need it, they've got it. You do your shopping like you normally would online. You put it all in the basket. You check out. You enter the promo code. Very important. Put the promo code listed on our website, roundaboutshow.com. There's a little spot on the checkout page to put that in there. And you'll see, boom, the savings come right off the top of your bill. It's like magic. Penn and Teller couldn't do a better job.
Oh, it's magic. You know.
Do it.
And it gets better. It's magic with a cherry on top.
Which one doesn't
look a magical cherry?
Yes, because if you spend more than $75 with Advance, free shipping Have it delivered right to your door, free of charge.
What?
Can you believe that, Steven?
What?
I know.
What is? I mean, I live almost next door to an Advance. Actually, I live, you know, very close. I should have them deliver it to my house.
They could. They could hand deliver it.
What?
So, yeah, again, that is roundaboutshow.com. Follow the Advance banner ad on the right-hand sidebar of the page. You can save $10 on an order of $30, $20 off of $50, or $30 off of a $100 order through Advance Auto Parts. Just enter that promo code at checkout, and bam!
Whoa!
You're boom. Saving money. We thank them for their support, and we do hope that you will take advantage of it. So, next up, it is time for Auto Gadget. All right, this is the segment where we highlight the happy fusion between vehicles and technology. And this week, Mercedes-Benz and the crispy, crunchy, glowing golden Fuji Apple.
Mercedes-Benz?
In Cupertino, yes. Are teaming up because...
You know, I heard that when Chrysler bought them, it ruined their interiors.
They used to be cool, man.
When Chrysler bought Daimler Chrysler, it ruined the interiors of Mercedes.
Yes.
And, I mean, while we're in alternate universe, the Chrysler Crossfire was the best performance car in the world.
Ever.
It's
ever.
Supercar, guys.
And the Dodge Caliber and the Chrysler Pacifica, amazing vehicles. Holy cow.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm lost. So...
We're in alternate universe.
Are we?
It's like Fringe.
When Chrysler bought Daimler and put its name second to form Daimler Chrysler.
Well, Chrysler Daimler just sounds weird.
Chrysler Daimler. All right. Yeah, but then they couldn't have been DCX.
CDX. See, who wants
ooh,
to be CDX?
That sounds cool.
It'd be CD.
CDX.
CD.
CD's nuts.
Center for Disease Control.
So what's this Apple-y Benz-y?
Apple-Benz combination here. Apparently, Mercedes-Benz is going to integrate Apple's popular Siri voice-based assistant into the new A-Class model.
Ooh.
You have an iPhone 4S, don't you, Steven?
No.
Well, how do you like your 4S?
It's wonderful.
Ben actually has a 4S.
I do.
And you avail yourself of Ms. Siri quite frequently.
I do.
You tried using her to set up a dental appointment this afternoon.
Didn't
can
quite
you do
work?
A demonstration for us on yes. the air, Benjamin?
Demo, 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 demo.
This is like the demo time during the all Apple right. keynote. All right, well, what should I do?
Well, I don't know. It's your product.
Do something funny.
Ask her to remind.
Ask her about Daimler Chrysler.
Ask her about Daimler Chrysler.
Okay. She'll just do a search then, won't she?
Siri, what's Daimler Chrysler's stock price?
Vanilla Angus, I couldn't find a stock Daimler Chrysler.
Oh, darn.
Did she say what I thought she said?
No comment.
You like it when she calls you Benelangus, don't you?
I'm the Colonel. Colonelangus.
I'm a Colonel.
Yeah, so basically they're going to integrate the Siri voice functionality, which works when it wants to, into the car, which would be a great hands-free innovation. Because really, Siri is a pretty cool app when it works. It's pretty amazing. You just dictate, you know, I got a dentist appointment next week Tuesday at 3:30 p.m. Move my other appointment to 5.
Make me a sandwich.
Basically. Tell me a joke. Siri, I'm sad.
Siri, I'm sad.
I'm attempting suicide, Siri. Stop me. I'm sorry. I didn't understand you.
I wonder if it was integrated into the car and you said that, if it would shut down the car so you couldn't do anything.
Ask Siri to tell us a joke.
Yes.
Siri, tell me a joke. So lonely.
Benelangus, I don't really know any good jokes. None, in fact.
See how good it works?
It works.
It just works.
Can she sing you lyrics? Like,
I get so emotional, baby.
Like that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, say that to her. Say that you get so emotional, baby.
I get so emotional, baby.
I don't know what you mean by I get so emotional, baby.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Oh, it was worth a try.
So this could be pretty cool. Are they actually working with Apple?
Call me the Colonel.
From now on, I'll call you the Colonel, okay?
No. All right, so a pretty cool fusion of technology here. Neat app from Apple. And
I mean, are they going to have any specialized commands?
I would think they'd have to.
I mean,
for
like HVAC stuff or
make it colder.
Exactly.
Go faster.
My ass texture is changing.
A-class, make it hot for me.
Oh, wow. I mean, or take me to the Dairy Queen or something.
Take me someplace classy.
Yes. So I also read an article that Apple might be working on a competitor to Sync.
Oh.
Infotainment. I know that gets you all excited, Steven, because you're an Apple enthusiast.
Ish.
You do own a MacBook and an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And what made you choose the MacBook?
That's what AOL sent me.
Oh, really? The white?
No. Oh, my MacBook.
Yeah, your personal one.
Because it's what I've used my whole life, and I prefer the feel of a Mac to that of a PC.
The fit. The and fit. Finish.
The texture. The color.
Color.
The glamour.
Fair enough. I'm not here to judge.
Because that way Ben won't try to burn my house down.
Yeah, exactly. I'm militant about this.
All right. So that is another exciting auto gadget. Technology keeps marching on. I'm still looking for a wax cylinder player in a car, but I just don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Oh, I did hear that Suzu maybe, is integrating the Zune into their new pickup truck.
Wow. That's nice. Big Retard says he's cheap and is a PC. Amen for cost effectiveness. That's what I say. Thumbs up. No, two thumbs up. Boom.
Or three.
Oh, Mr. Rossbot's a fan, too. Anyway, we got to move on. It's time for a new segment, a quick auditory snack, if you will, and it's called Hall versus Hall.
Yum.
What happens when you take two brothers, twin brothers, one an expert analyst, Jim Hall, the other the so-called father of the Miata, Bob Hall, and you square them off in a debate to the death? We call it Hall versus Hall. Today's question, a very simple one. Pontiac Solstice or Saturn Sky? Debate!
That one's easy. Sky. The Solstice, and Frank Cicito, who is responsible for the design of the Solstice, probably going to kill me over this, but the Solstice always looked like a car that had the mumps in the front. It was sort of soft and doughy, and this little grill, it was like sort of... The Sky, I like a crease in my pants, and the Sky had just enough stuff so there was still some muscularity left in the car. And the problem is that was gone from the doughish kind of... it was the Pillsbury Doughboy of sports cars, I guess.
Frank, I want to show you something. I don't have a mole here, and Jimmy kind of has a little bit of a mole. So don't kill me, kill him.
In a different texture.
But you can kill me afterwards, because I really think they both suck, okay? I prefer the Daewoo G2X. It's vastly superior to either one, okay? It's just, and it has badge value. It has the badge value, the quality of a Daewoo.
I need to explain that the Sky was exported as an Opel GT, and it was also exported to Korea as the Daewoo G2X. So any Sky owner out there could modify his car into a snazzy and ultra rare.
And just think about it. What's the hot setup? I want the JDM model, huh? They could have the KDM model.
That's right.
Just by changing, a couple of badges. It even had the little mustachey chrome thing.
Yeah, but it was a different shape to do the oval in it.
But I'd still like a G2X. Means I'd probably get a Sky and have my friend Mr. Park, one of the Mr. Parks I know there, send me the parts. Maybe I'll do that. I need a new car.
Is he or isn't he? You'll have to tune in to find out, right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
So what is Hall versus Hall exactly?
Hall versus Hall is a new series we're doing with Bob Hall and Jim Hall, much like the one you just heard. In fact, exactly like the one you just heard. We're
pitting the Hall brothers.
Exactly.
Against one another. They'd be twins.
One critical automotive question, and they go at it. We find out where they stand.
Mm-hmm. On the issues that matter most. What do you think of that? What's the takeaway there?
I'd like to point out that both the Sky and the Solstice are dead, and that's a very good thing.
The question was submitted by a roundabout enthusiast.
We have those?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh.
Victor M. Castaneda, Jr.
It's Tilde.
Nifty.
Yeah, I know.
Nieda.
Nifty.
So we thank him for that, and we thank the Hall brothers.
My opinion is, between the Solstice and the Sky, the answer is Miata.
Bob Hall would agree.
Miyagi.
Jeff, your thoughts? Which do you pick?
Out of the two?
Just pick Miata. It's the answer.
No, I, like I said in the chat room, I always like the Sky because it kind of looks like a mini Corvette.
What? I would have to agree. I like the Sky.
The Sky looked better.
I think the Solstice was the female version, and the Sky was for those who didn't want a Solstice
female version.
And well, I don't know anyone that actually wanted one of those cars.
No. What, Ben?
I was going to ask Craig, where do you stand?
I would say the Sky, where the birds fly.
Oh. Or the Solstice, where the sun is bigger.
I'm pretty sure that's not what it means, but...
Isn't that when the sun's, like, the longest day or something like that?
No. It doesn't get physically bigger, Jeff.
I know it doesn't. The world is flat, so listen up.
That's a good title, Ben. I know it doesn't. The world is flat. Anyway, now it is time, gentlemen, and I hope you're sitting down, for the main course. Meet your roadmates!
Wait. It's meet your roadmates, you said? Oh, then this.
Yes. What's the deal with lifted pickups? Why do Toyota Corolla drivers often own catteries? Each week, or whenever we do it, meet your roadmates answers these burning questions and more. Now, Ben, the official roundabout colonel, has fed a series of IBM punch cards into the supercomputer for today's show, and it is our collective job to determine what kind of people will drive each of the vehicles we are about to list. Now, this week's picks were all submitted by official ROAB historian Zachary Levine, a.k.a. one does not particularly care for apple pie. All vehicles have something of a collectible theme about them. Shall we get started?
Yeah.
Steven, you sound glum.
I'm not glum.
This is your segment.
I think Steven's middle name is Glum.
With a J.
Steven Glum. Mm-hmm.
Wish I were dead.
Harsh word. Ben, our first vehicle, please.
Ah, and the first vehicle is the 1976 Lancia Scorpion. So, who would drive the 1976 Lancia Scorpion?
An Italian?
Someone who doesn't have a day job.
Okay, someone who doesn't get cars, Jeffrey, in the U.S.?
Jeffrey, who would drive the Lancia Scorpion?
I don't think I've ever seen one before.
Neither have I.
Yeah, me either.
So who would drive it? So, you know, clearly you're an expert on the car, so who would drive it?
Jay Leno, according to One Hates Apple Pie.
Well. Someone who lives in Staten Island, because that's where the car is located. Oh, but the listing is ended, so the person who would drive this car is whoever bought it.
Somebody with a morbidly obese dachshund in the front seat. Oh, my God. Look at the shot with the door open. There's this dog just plopped on the seat.
Oh, yep.
Rufus.
That's a big girl.
Where is it? Is it toward the bottom?
Looks so happy.
Oh, there we go.
I don't see it.
There we go.
You got that lovely picture?
There she is. Or he is.
I mean, yeah, the person who would drive this car is whoever purchased it.
Somebody on Staten Island.
A glutton for pain, because I don't imagine it being very cheap to work on this thing.
Holy
cow, that's a fat dog. You got a fat wiener dog there, boy.
Oh, but look at the tricolore wing on the back.
Yeah. Where would you get pots?
You wouldn't.
Where would you get pot?
Pot.
You would push it into the sea.
The Hudson River. Yeah. All right.
Just be done with it.
We're done here. Next car.
Fair enough. In goes the next IBM punch card. And it is, in fact, the 1973... Staying in the 70s here. 1973, okay. Citroën D Super 5.
DS
Super 5.
Who would drive this car, Steven?
a Frenchman?
Okay.
Someone who appreciates very beautiful things that break easily.
I think this is beautiful.
Yes, it's a beautiful car.
This is someone who likes beautiful things and then wants to drive something that's not beautiful.
Mm-hmm. What? This is a gorgeous car.
I think someone in the the 24 hours of Le Mans, drives one of these. Drives one of these as a beater.
This is a gorgeous car, an iconic car, a revolutionary car.
It's located in Buxarolles, Pio II Charentes in France.
I'm glad you brushed up on your French because you're going to the Geneva Auto Show.
Buxarolles.
Buxarolles. Yes, Citroën. Who would drive the Citroën DS Super 5?
Citroën enthusiast.
Somebody that is cultured. They're into probably a burgundy wine or
something. Ooh, they have lots of smoking jackets.
Probably.
I know who it is.
Who?
I know who would drive this.
Oh.
Phil Caron.
Huh?
That's the guy's website down at the bottom of the page.
What about the Caron?
That's neat.
He's just trying to drive traffic. He's a Citroën restoration and repair expert, apparently.
Citroën.
That's right. So I guess I don't know who would drive this other than somebody very cultured and with good taste.
I guess I'm not cultured and have horrible taste.
Not in a hurry to get anywhere. Not in a hurry because the car's very slow.
No, no.
You know? Mm-hmm. A lot of tweed or but smoking jackets.
Smoking jackets. Very sort of proper.
But in a French sort of way.
In a very French way, so they sort of...
They don't care about other people so much. They're just...
No.
They want that smooth ride.
Heavy smoker. Heavy smoker.
Like for decades, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Unfiltered.
You want to come out back and see my Citroën? No,
it's Citroën.
Bruxelles.
It's a DS Uber 5.
DS Uber 5. Uber Scooper. So there you go. Vehicle number two. Not... These are tough ones. These are tough choices, Ben.
Don't blame me.
What's our last one?
Our third and final in the collectible series is... Well, let's find out. Spit a card out for me. Thank you. Ah! The 2006 Mercury Milan Premiere.
Yes!
How is that?
Speaking of beautiful, elegant cars...
All right, Jeff. All right. Who would drive this car, Jeff? Describe... The motorist that would own the 2006 Mercury Milan.
Think of the smartest, most perfect person in the world. Multiply times 7, and that is the person. I mean, just brilliant, beautiful. The waterfall grill exudes like
class,
class and beauty. And the Mercury name, it's like from another planet.
In fact, it is.
Okay, first of all, what I want to know is, how the hell did we arrive at the Milan as our third in this collectible?
How is it collectible?
It's been
discontinued.
Here's this. It's a Milan. You can still buy one. They're called Fusions.
You can probably get one brand new on a dealer showroom still.
More than likely. You can probably get a brand new 2006 if you're good.
Oh, you're good.
So who would drive this, Steven, Mr. Know-It-All?
Got the crotchety woman who lives above me and who has yappy purse dogs. And
Does she have a bum leg?
No.
She has a celery stalk leg.
Everyone that I knew that drove Mercurys, they just got a good deal on them.
Jill Wagner would drive one. And you
she
should,
sure
too.
Could.
I know who would drive a 2006 Mercury Milan i4 Premier.
Who?
A vagrant named Hank, a 40-something-year-old cudgel-wielding schizoid drifter from Des Moines. He used to work at Old Man Hutchinson's grain elevator south of Water Street.
Speak up, son!
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, Mercury Milan, that's...
I think the depressing thing is that people willingly went out and bought the Milan when they knew that the Fusion existed.
What about the Mercury... Mistake or the Mystique, sorry.
The Mystique?
Mystique.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Ford Contour.
Mm-hmm. What about the Mercury Cougar?
Cougar. The Villager.
Oh, God. The Villa Quest, as I call them.
The Sable. The Mercury Sable.
Don't talk about the Sable.
If you're going to talk about the Villager, though, you have to get the late 90s Villager Nautica edition.
Oh, of course.
Ooh.
What about the Grand Marquis?
Grand Marquis.
Marquis.
Again, it's just...
What was the cool Grand Marquis called?
Oh, the Marauder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marauder.
Wow. That was cool.
What a great car.
Who was that?
Me?
Thanks, what? Voice.
What a great car.
Wow. That was the mystery
what
person.
What a great car.
That was Jeff Gilbert.
Was it?
The esteemed Jeff Gilbert.
Oh. He was on the show earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, at some point. Mm-hmm. You would have known that had you not hoed us out.
Duh. Use a hoe.
So what is, Ben, what is our fourth and final vehicle?
We don't
get punch card, please.
We don't have one because that was the final vehicle, like I said.
Do 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 do. You're the winner.
I'm gonna sit at the
welcome table. Let's think about it. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. One of these days. Hallelujah.
That's great.
Whoa.
I think we have a show, guys. In record time,
we have derailed.
No, the train car has derailed. It's fallen off the bridge, and the flammable cargo it was holding, containing, has ignited.
Don't breathe in the fumes!
It's set
but
the
Dr.
county
Kimball
on fire.
Has jumped out of it.
Yes. So there you go. We had, what are those are all called? Widowmakers, where the old rail would come up and slice through the bottom of the car. Train car? You know what that, when they, those go on there, Steven.
I'm not a train
it's
enthusiast.
A widow, it's a widowmaker.
A cow catcher?
No, the widowmaker, where the rail would come loose from the ties and pop up and go through the floor of the train car.
Oh.
It could cause havoc.
Woof.
On the rails. We are off the rails.
Woof.
Woof.
Jefferson Ross, autobytel.com. How you feeling,
that's
girl?
That's I.
How you feeling, girl?
I'm feeling good.
What are you working on?
Well, I just got back from Mazda Raceway. That's what I was trained to say.
Son of a bitch.
I hear that's also known as Laguna Seca.
Well, I kept asking if they call the sportier Boss 302 the Boss 302 Mazda Raceway. But they didn't like that.
Because I thought the full official name was Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca.
It is, but they didn't mention the last part ever.
So
but I'm working on, I did a story on the Mazda CX-5. We took it to the track.
And how'd you like it, girl?
It was good. It was the second time I've driven it. It didn't flip or crash into a wall.
Hey.
So that was a good track day.
Always.
The funny thing is, while I was driving that, there was a GTR track event in South Florida that I had to miss. And then, of course, the ZL1 track day up at Virginia.
Bull roar.
Wah, so. Wah.
Excuse me.
Mazda Raceway, Laguna Seca. And I would have driven anything. I would have driven a Mercury Milan on that track and had a blasty blast.
How was the corkscrew? Terrifying?
It was fun. It was we were doing like 80 miles an hour. top speed, wide open.
And, well, it's got Sky Active, it can fly.
And you go into the first turn, of course the brake, you know, it's but on a race car I'm sure you lose braking because you're going so fast. But this, you never got that like roller coaster feel. Oh. So you make the hard left doing 80 and then you're still braking. And then you go down the second part of the corkscrew blindly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. The instructor just said, look at the tree and then turn. So that's what I did. And it felt like falling off a parking garage, but it was awesome.
Felt like you're going to die. Yeah. You just want to die. You could have felt like it. Wow. So where else are you going, Jeff? You going to cover Geneva like Mr. Ewing?
No, I'm not going to Geneva because I can't speak Italian.
Or French or German or Romanish.
I'm going to New Orleans next week to do what everyone else did last week in Vegas.
Wow. The Colonel's been to New Orleans before, hasn't he?
The fictional Colonel Charlotte has.
What's his take on the big city of Brotherly Love?
Spent quite a spell. The Big Easy.
City of Brotherly Love. Or
he stayed in the hotel room the whole time. So, so humid.
It gets balmy downtown.
Balmy.
Balmy downtown. Stephen J. Ewing, autoblog.com. You, unlike Jefferson, are going to Geneva.
I am going to Geneva.
What are you looking forward to?
By the time our listeners hear this, I will be in Geneva.
What about if Luke is listening?
Well, then he knows I'll be going there shortly.
Can he go luggage class? Tag along?
No.
Can you get him into the show?
No.
Why not?
Because
he's quiet.
I don't have that power.
It's just a load of
put him in a dog gear.
I ain't got that kind of power. Geneva's going to be a good show. There are exactly 75 billion things to cover while we're there.
Most of which isn't important anyway.
Right. Nothing.
At the Rin speed. Blah, blah.
Nothing that's there is ever important. Not a thing. So it's going to be busy week.
Busy.
It's going to be busy week.
All right. Well, fair enough.
But it's exciting.
How long are the press days for? Just 2 days?
It's Tuesday, March 6th and Wednesday, March 7th. Well, but if you're super bored next week, you can go on and read my review of a certain performance-oriented small Fiat hatchback that I may or may not have driven.
And you may or may not have
Gucci version
about it.
That's all I can say.
Well, very good. Thank you, Stephen, for joining us. We do appreciate having you come back.
Oh, it's been having it's been a show.
You've resurrected. Resurrected.
I was going to say Fridays have been nice.
It's been wonderful.
He can go see his real friends and hang out with them. And
oh, but you all know you're my real friends.
Oh, you stop it now.
I can't even say it with
a straight face. We used to be strangers, but we soon became his friends. Became his friends.
All right. Well,
and by the way, Miss Motormouth in the chat room points out that Auto Beitel will be vicariously covering the Geneva Auto Show. They have gone to great lengths to arrange such coverage.
Really?
So you can still visit there, even though Jeff is not going there in person.
Michelle.
Oh, this just in. I forgot that I will be covering the Amelia Island Concours d'Elegance.
I believe your plug was over with, Jeff.
No, I just had to say that. I forgot about it.
And already on to Steven's plug, so.
I know, I went into it.
Ben, mark this so we can cut it out. All right. So, Amelia Island, when's that coming up here?
Next weekend.
And that's pretty sweet.
The BMW 640 Grand Coupe is going to be there, too.
Wow.
You know where it'll be first?
Geneva.
Yep.
I will see it in America before you will see it, Steven, though.
Yeah, I don't think he's very upset
silence.
About that.
Yeah.
He's
cold
not
silence.
Upset. Not going to lie.
I probably won't see it in Geneva either.
True.
You're going to go visit
in
your friends
room
in the area, on the continent.
No,
not going to have time.
I'm just going to go out and...
It's work. Not going to navigate the German Autobahn.
Kick me some Geneva butt and go home and sleep a lot.
Sounds like a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
And then we will take all that coverage, that wonderful coverage, and we'll turn it into a 60 and 90 show.
If you guys want to have me back for a deliriously hilarious episode again.
We'll bring
Geneva
some 151.
It was fun. We got to see the cars and fast.
Because Steven can't fly over an ocean without getting totally toasted.
To be fair, it's very dry in the plane, okay?
Yeah, for the record.
Yes, so... There you go.
The seat warmer was on.
Of course, and change the texture of your face.
Toasted my buns.
We got to thank Ben. We got to thank the Colonel for his technical expertise, getting all this up on the live webcast here, and, of course, the edited podcast.
You're quite welcome.
I said the
thank
Colonel.
Thank you, Benjamin.
You're quite welcome.
That's more like it.
Thanks, Ben.
All right.
You too, Steven.
So remember, you can watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening, starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 3:30 on the West Coast. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family. It's a family of fine programs, including Autoline This Week, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, Autoline Daily, now 5 days a week. Also, if you want to stay in touch with us... We're doing Twitter and Facebook. It's pretty easy to get in touch. Twitter.com/roundaboutshow or Facebook.com/roundaboutshow. If you've got any trouble finding us and you still want to get involved, just do a search. Very easy. You'll see us. Also, it's on the website, roundaboutshow.com. You'll see links to our other social media sites as well.
We make it so easy for you.
We do. If you never want to miss an action-packed episode, I never do, there are several ways you can get Roundabout. You can use an application on your smartphone called Stitcher. Very handy. Ben, that's on the iPhone platform, I know, as well as Android. So.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, listen to podcasts.
No more syncing, baby. Not for me. I'm just streaming.
Well, wash your hands afterwards.
Yeah.
So,
if I have time.
If you're a more traditional person, we're also available subscription-wise via the Zune Marketplace or iTunes. And it's important to note the podcast will now be coming out Monday evenings.
Yeah, which you may already, evenings. If you're a regular podcast listener, you notice that took place last week, took effect last week. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're listening to this one, you know that that happened. But if you're a video person who normally watches us on YouTube, you may not be aware that the podcast is now coming out on Monday nights. So look for it on Monday nights. That's when you should update your podcatcher or Stitcher or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know what any of that means, but...
That's okay. You just show up, don't you, Craig?
I just show up. I'm here, too.
It's on the internet.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about other things and YouTube, that Hall versus Hall segment you heard... Again, if you're a podcast listener and you just heard it, there's a whole visual accompaniment that went along with that.
It was did it ever.
Pretty super sweet, and you'll be able to find that Monday at around
Monday
on YouTube. Just search for Hall versus Hall, or visit roundaboutshow.com, or visit autoline.tv and click the Roundabout tab. It's just that easy, and we'll be coming out with more and more of those videos over the coming weeks and months.
It's just plain good.
It is just plain good.
Also, one other note. Again, if you are using iTunes, rate us, please.
Yes, please.
Give us a star rating if you can. Also, give a one-sentence review if you like the show. Or if you don't like the show, we'd love to hear from you. That's a great way for giving us feedback. So we ask you to please give us a review on
please
the iTunes.
Please do.
Oh, I thought you said something else other than rate.
Oh,
no.
No, certainly not that.
Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. We got to end this show now, but please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout, hopefully with less uncomfortableness from Jeffrey Ross. We'll talk to you then.
I love it.